snow to melt. I don't want any more on top of it.
All right, let's bring this meeting to order. This is the March 18th, 2014 Newburyport Conservation Commission meeting in the City Council chambers, and if there's anybody to hear, the meeting's being recorded. First item are the approval of the minutes of March 4th, 2014. Any additions, comments?
Motion to approve.
I don't think we can.
We don't have a...
We don't have a quorum of people who are here.
Yeah, we keep bumping into that.
In that case, we'll table that.
We also had one from a month or so ago.
That's true.
February 18th.
And we haven't had the right...
All right, so we'll hold off on that. In that case, we'll move on to Plum Island updates.
Okay. So I'm not remembering if we had any of these updates at our last meeting. I don't think so. But we had a beach management committee meeting at City Hall last week, and Jim was away. But it was a good meeting. Ray Foucher from DCR was there. And so it was pretty productive because we were able to coordinate between him and Tony Fernari, the beach cleanup for the spring. They're going to work together to schedule that and get some inmates to come out and do some initial cleanup and then bring the beach rake over from Salisbury. And DCR will do that work for us to get the rack up. And if possible, if there's not too much junk in it, place the beach rack at the toe of the dune to provide some additional, you know, material for stabilization of the dunes. So that is one good thing. Signage, we're also going to be working on some new signage on Plum Island at the public access ways, similar to what you see at the beach in Salisbury, where on the road, on the main road, you'll see a sign that says beach access, you know, 1 through 14. And then you go down that access way, and then at the beach, at the top of the dune, there's another post that'll say that same number, so that when you're on the beach, you know where you are. And it's really important for emergency personnel and someone can call and say, I'm at access, whatever. So we're trying to do that across Plum Island, Newbury is as well, but for our side, it's only like a handful of public access ways that we're gonna do it. But so we're looking at those signs, and also like at 55th Street at the where the ramp is that goes down to the beach, there's probably, if you've been out there lately and noticed, there's probably 7 different signs, different shapes, different colors, different sizes, all different stuff on them. It looks awful. And so at the same time, we're gonna try to get some nice looking signs made that maybe just bigger and have all the right information on and kind of have a standard sort of sign format.
Are they all city signs, the ones that are there?
Yeah, they're all city signs and they're all different. And they're all sort of horrible in their own way, so so that's kind of exciting. I'm like sort of researching signs and how we can develop that and get that to Tony, and he'll have them made.
They also have some sort of rules on them, not
yes,
just locate.
That's exactly what it'll be sort of like welcome to the beach or just Newburyport, you know, Plum Island, and then you know, please, no dogs, no, I forget what we had on there. It'll say the beach hours, and it'll say things like, please, no dogs, please protect the dunes, please do this.
Please don't play with the owls.
Please don't step on the plovers. And try to make it friendly, but let the rules all come out, lifeguard hours. And then there'll be a place at the bottom where we can hang an additional sign that would say beach closed if the beach is going to be closed. So that's signage. The biomimicry and erosion control. The biomimicry projects that we did are one on either side of the 57th Street access sort of sand ramp that goes down at 57th. We didn't do it over by 55th and 53rd. And what's really interesting is that all the sand that we put down, the new sand that we put down last spring at 55th and 53rd, is totally gone. Those have to be completely redone with new sand. Steep slopes, again, you can't get up or down. and the ramp at 57th Street is completely intact, and all the biomimicry is sand piled up to the tops of it. So given that they're adjacent to each other, I'm gonna say that worked, or at least it didn't not work.
Yeah, right.
You know, so yeah. I mean, that saved our exactly. Yeah. It may not have built up the dune, you know, like. I mean, I actually think it did a really good job, but.
Well, if you raise them up now, it'll go even higher.
Exactly. So now the sort of the winter storm season is coming to an end. So what we talked about at the Beach Management Committee meeting is that we're going to try to do this every fall. You know, in September, October, do the installation along the whole stretch and leave it for the whole winter and pull them up if we can when the sand isn't frozen and covered and all that, and just do that every year. Ray Foucher from DCR said they've been doing this up in Salisbury as well over this past year, and that it's worked really well up there too.
So could you just stick them in the sand at 53rd and 55th Street and it would build up? You don't have to bring sand
we
in.
Don't know. No, it would never build up that much. I mean, we're talking, those two locations lost an enormous amount of sand from these ramps. They're huge.
Yeah.
That sand all went away. You can't necessarily concoct it in a way that's that precise. I think that it's just a sort of a general capturing of sand in a wide area.
Insurance.
Yeah, it's insurance. And what it did was it prevented the 57th Street ramp from disappearing. In fact, it's totally intact. So,
well, diverted the water, probably, and it may have taken out the other two ramps as a result. If you had what essentially was a wall there, and it diverted water, probably concentrated water to the south.
What's interesting about that is where they're the sandbags, where in front of Hermani's house and further down. Front of Tracy's house at 55th and 53rd, that's where the sandbags are.
Mm-hmm.
And so traditionally, that's remained solid, and then you get this scouring effect at 57th.
Okay.
So normally it's 57th that's being wiped out because of what's going on next to it. And this time, nothing happened.
Because it had its own natural berm in front of it.
Right. So it's pretty interesting. So that's that. The jetty projects, the South Jetty is going to be worked on until the end of April at this point. You know, the goal was to get done by the end of March, but now it'll be the end of April. They're getting special permission to continue and have an extension from Natural Heritage for the plover season, and I'm sure they'll have to have a plover monitor out there. And was there anything else? Oh, DCR is also going to help us do some dune monitoring and beach monitoring, which they do up in Salisbury, where they measure a couple times a year, they measure the amount of sand that they have. I'm not exactly sure how they do it, but they're going to show us how. And what that does is when there's a huge storm, if they lose a tremendous amount of sand, they can actually get funds from FEMA and MEMA to replace it because it's considered storm damage, and they can get that sort of emergency money. Whereas if you can't measure what you've lost because you don't know what you had before, you're ineligible for any of that help. So they're going to teach us how to do this measurement, do these measurements.
They just do a profile of the beach?
I don't know.
They must.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if it goes up or down.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's just as much as far as it goes. Yeah, they said it was very simple. It sounds like it's probably something like that. All right, that's it for beach.
See, the thing that's been in the paper recently about getting that sand.
Oh yeah, the Piscataqua.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when we first talked about it, probably close to a year ago, that there was some concern about the contents of that sand.
Yes. So whether or not it would be compatible sand, right? So it's not Plum Island beach grade sand. Definitely not. It's glacial till material. It's very sandy. But it's sandy and gravelly, and so we've got the sort of analysis of that, of the grain sizes and all that kind of thing. But the idea is that it's not going to be placed on the beach. By placing it in the offshore berm, by natural selection, the fines come out and onto the beach. and the heavy material stays put and forms more of a permanent bar or berm out there. That's the idea. Unless you have a tremendous amount of wave energy, and the energy is so strong that it actually takes the heavier material up onto the beach. But then in that case, that's also sort of a natural selection process. So, you know, I think we talked about this at the MRBA meeting last week, and the way people are looking at it is when you look at the alternative, especially if you're Newberry, when you look at the alternative is putting giant boulders on the beach, maybe we should accept a little bit of like gravelly sand. So,
but it's offshore anyways, which is where they used to dump all the sand before, right? They just put a big bar out there.
So worst case scenario, we get washing, we get sand washing up that's not as fine and pristine as we would like it to be. But if we're getting sand moving onto the beach, at this point that may be what we want. So.
Is there any concern that all this sand that they're dumping out there will cover up something that we don't want to cover up? I don't know if there's any habitat.
Oh, they've done, so Army Corps did this this past summer. They didn't even tell us. We had put in our request that we wanted to be considered to receive the sand, and then we didn't even know it, but they took it seriously and came out and did this complete study of the profile, beach profiles, and the offshore topography and the benthic environment, and there's photographs of all of the invertebrate life down there. It's really pretty amazing. I can forward you the report if you'd like to see it. There's like a picture of a lobster, and then, you know. There wasn't much going on in the new report end, but they determined that it was an appropriate environment, that they weren't going to be doing any significant damage.
They would scout that.
I assume it's just mostly sand.
It's just mostly, I'll send you the report. You can take a look and see what you think. But this would obviously all, you know, have to come before the commission at some point for, I wonder, we would have to take care of the permitting, and we would have to take care of the cost for the transportation of the sand, but that's it. So I'm not sure how the permitting would get done, whether it be considered an Army Corps project at that point or not. Actually, I think probably not, because the way they're looking at it is that we're sort of a third party purchasing their sand. So it's not their project. It's very different than when they dredged the river before and piped it all on. That was their project.
Good.
When are they going to do the dredging?
Not till probably like 2016. 2016, 2017.
Just got to hold on for 3 more years.
Right.
Hopefully there'll still be an island.
Right. Yeah. Hopefully by then we'll be able to identify some money and some other important information.
And some houses still.
Yeah.
All right, Paul.
One more thing. A while back, you were asking about CPA funds, or you know, whether we should apply for some, or the Beach Committee apply for some.
Yeah. We didn't, obviously we didn't apply for it. It was, Andy was sort of taking the lead in our office on that, and it just didn't happen. I sort of would have liked to have been more involved in it, and maybe next year I will just be able to help out on that a little bit more. I think, and then when we talked about it afterwards, he indicated that he felt like there was maybe already too much being put forward, and we hadn't spent all of our initial round of money yet, and so in any case, that's what that is.
As the mayor wants it all to go for a football field.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Now, Paul, CPC update? Anything? You have a CPC update of any sort?
Only that we approved the spending of 500 some thousand for that horizontal property, which leaves our balance in open space around 300,000.
Still a good chunk.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll put it. Usually what we do is every year we add more to it.
Right.
Well, a little bit.
We've spent so much on open space already, we don't have to do quite a lot.
But don't you have to every year? We have to put at least...
Yeah, we have bottom payments still.
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, so you, no matter what, we would be, yeah, spending it, okay.
Yeah, the majority tends to consider that funding every year important.
My recollection is when we bought the original parcel down there many years ago, that at some point, if the state ever had the money, they were going to buy it from us and make it part of the park. And now, either they've never had any money or everybody forgot about it.
Yeah.
Well, they're doing a half purchase on this. They're buying half of it.
Yeah,
I think they're paying for it.
Because I don't think they had any money in the lot when the other piece was bought.
Yeah, they were discussing that at in here last night.
Oh, really?
Being a time crunch, and I don't remember, did they vote on it last night? I don't remember hearing it. I don't remember them voting on it or not, but it came up, and there was a concern about...
we have to have it by the middle of the year.
Right, and if you send it to committee, then there's going to be a time issue that...
Were they going to send it to committee?
Was it Jordy? Either Jordy or Andy, I think, talked them out of sending it to committee, so they must have voted on it.
The other lot down there? Which lot did the city buy previously? It was up the hill a ways from the dam. It probably watched the property they're buying.
It does. It's actually almost like completes a puzzle piece. Because the property that we bought before kind of went like this.
Right.
And then Maudsley's over here, and this is like the chunk that's in the middle.
That was that's unnamed.
That's a great chunk of land out there.
Yeah.
It's going to be part of Maudsley.
Right on the river.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fun little mountain bike trails in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So now it's ours.
A good price.
Looked like it. $500,000 discount, basically. $500,000 discount.
That's awesome.
As opposed to Cooper North, where we paid $1 million more.
Excuse me?
Cooper North, we paid $1 million more than the developer bought it for.
Thank
you. All right, so I guess we went over the conservation property at Curzon Mill. Now it's time for, do we have anybody waiting out there?
I think so, yes. The folks, because Jordy requested to hold off on his, and Six Opportunity Way would like to postpone theirs as well. Remember, we saw them last meeting, and we wanted them to have the plantings in before they request a certificate of compliance.
Right.
So they want to delay that till April 15th. So that just leaves Plummer Spring Road, and they're out there.
Seven. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? City of Newburyport, Department of Public Services, Water Division, Plummer Spring Road, Notice of Intent. I think there's an easel back there behind you. Two easels.
What do you guys want down there?
Yeah. I guess it really doesn't matter since there's no public.
Jessica Hunt, also from AECOM, and Paul Colby from the City of Newburyport.
And we're here tonight to talk to you about the NOI that we submitted for the Upper Autotropium Improvements Project. So the Upper Autotropium, this is just a plan here so that you can see. This is the Upper Autotropium. And so this is the Upper Autotrope Reservoir, and then it goes down into the Lower Autotrope Reservoir. So the Autotrope Reservoir system provides 90% of the water for the city of Newburyport and then a portion of the water supply for West Newbury. The dam was originally constructed in 1915 along with its associated gatehouse. The gatehouse structure is located over here, and this is used to control the flow that goes from the Upper Autotrope Reservoir to the Lower Autotrope Reservoir. It all flows by gravity. So the dam is actually classified as a large size, low hazard dam, and it has a weir crest that's about 135 feet wide. So in 2012, Paul noticed that the inlet structure or the inlet piping that conveys the flow from the upper to the lower artichoke was clogged. And so they had a diver go out there, and the diver was able to find that there was a large amount of sediment that had built up along the existing pipe, and then a lot of vegetation that had grown around it. So the diver unclogged the pipe, and then they were able to convey the flow again. However, in a couple of months, the sediment had kind of all built up again, and they were again having trouble getting that water to go through. So that, along with a recent inspection of the dam that showed that it needed some construction improvements, basically it's just over the years, there's freeze-thaw damage and then some spalling of the concrete dam. They decided to move forward with an improvements project. So basically for this particular project, we are going to actually demolish the existing gatehouse structure because we've decided that it would be better to construct a new one on the West Newbury portion, the West Newbury side of the dam. And then construct improvements to the dam, which would include refacing the upstream and downstream sides of the dam, and then replacing some pavers that are located under the water that provide structural support. This project would involve a cofferdam that would need to be installed, and that would we would actually dewater half of the reservoir at a time. It's just not the whole reservoir, obviously, but just a portion. First, we would do this side and allow the water to still flow freely across the. We would leave one half of the spillway open, and that would allow the construction to be protected during about a 10-year storm event. So, if we constructed this new inlet structure on this side, and then we're able to continue to use the existing inlet structure during construction, we would construct that, and then we would, once this was all online, then we would move the cofferdam to do this side. And at that point, we would demolish the existing gatehouse structure, install a new rail system around there, just a guardrail type system to protect the public, and then we would construct the improvements to this side of the dam. Do you have any questions about the project so far?
How long is this whole project going
to
take?
We estimate it's going to take 4 to 5 months.
Oh.
Yeah. It will take a little while. The longest portion of it really will be constructing the cofferdams. Because we'll really put one right down the middle. And then we'll have it go over to the side, and they'll have to dewater that area. And then when it's time to work on the other side, we'll actually leave the portion in the middle and then reconstruct on the other side. So that's really the longest part. It takes them a couple of weeks to really get that up, and then dewater it and get that work done. So we're hoping to get it done in that 4 to 5 month time period. And we're hoping to do it over the summer during the drier months, just to avoid, like I said, that we want to keep half the spillway open, and that's an event of emergency. For the most part, Paul is able to just convey all the flow he needs through the existing inlet structures. The other inlet structure is actually larger, so we'll be able to get more flow through that. And just to give you a little bit of an idea for what that. We looked into keeping the existing inlet piping and the gatehouse structure as it is. However, what we found, when the diver went back in there and found that the sediment had already rebuilt, built up again, it just seemed like either we were going to need to do a large dredging project to get all that sediment out, or we had this alternative of constructing a new inlet structure on this side. So just to give you an idea, This would be the new inlet structure. There would be riprap around there to protect the slope and to protect it, and then it would just discharge on the other side. And then the new inlet structure, the reason why it's going to be so beneficial to them is that it has bar racks that will be able to be used to protect the piping from any large sticks or debris that would collect in there. And then it also has stop logs. So they can put these stop logs in, and then they can pull up and either just, you know, vacuum out any sediment that's built in, or they can actually go in there and get it out themselves. So this will be quite a benefit for them.
Wouldn't you, at some point in the future, if not now, you want to dredge those? Because aren't you losing capacity in the reservoir if the sediment is building up?
We are losing, I guess there is a concern about capacity, but...
Do we want to dredge? Yes. We've talked about it for a number of years. The cost of dredging is exorbitant.
It is. It gets really...
In the tens of millions of dollars. And right now we got... And so for the water treatment plant project, we just completed a $16 million. I don't think we could stomach that at the present time. But it is something we're entertaining. At some point down the road, somebody... We need to do something such as that, but we couldn't. Right now, it's just too large of a project.
We did size the inlet structure such that, and we set the elevation low enough so that it could accommodate any future dredging project. If they did decide that they wanted to lower the reservoir level a little bit, this would accommodate that. But we did investigate a kind of a large scale dredging project, and in fact, at one point, we were considering dredging all the way back to about here. But the cost to bring in the equipment to dewater that was just get, and then to have it carried off, it would have to go to a landfill. Mm-hmm. It just became too cost prohibitive. So I just, if you don't have any more questions about the actual, or this portion of the project, I wanted to have Jessica talk to you a little bit about the impacts to the resource areas.
Hi, so I'm Jessica Hart. And I'm just going to go over the resource areas and then potential impacts and then proposed restoration. So to just orient you a little bit, this is the Upper Artichoke Reservoir, Lower Artichoke Reservoir. Here's Middle Street and West Newbury, which turns into Plummer Spring Road. And then the bridge over the reservoir up here. This line here is designating the town boundary between Newburyport and West Newbury. So all of these colors here are showing the wetlands on the West Newbury side and wetlands on the Newburyport side. And I'm going to focus on Newburyport. An NOI has been submitted to West Newbury. If you're interested in the impacts that are going to go on this side of the reservoir, I can talk about them later. But I'll just focus right now on what's going on in Newburyport. We delineated resource areas in September, and so I'm just going to show you where they're located. Here is a wetland flag line A, which is showing inland bank, and wetland flag line E, located here, is showing the boundary between bordering vegetated wetland, BBW, and upland, and wetland E is the bordering vegetated wetland small area located within the project, within the limit of work, which is shown by this yellow line on the Newburyport side. The 100-foot buffer zone from the bordering vegetated wetland and inland bank is shown as this purple line, and the only area of buffer zone located within the limit of work is this orange area right here. So that's the 100-foot buffer zone from BBW and inland bank. This blue area here is land underwater within the project area. So you can see it's not a very huge area, but here's a blow up of it. As far as impacts go, there'll be only temporary impacts, no permanent impacts, and it's possible that there won't be any impacts to BBW or to the 100-foot buffer zone, but we wanted to lean on the conservative end. And if for any staging for construction around the gatehouse, we wanted to make sure that we accounted for potential impacts. So it's possible there won't be any, but if there are, it would be for the BBW and in the 100-foot buffer zone area. We were out there last week, and it looked like it's possible that there won't need to be any impacts at all, but it does depend on what the contractor does when they're on the site. So, and there will be some impacts to land underwater, minor, to the work that Eric was discussing along the dam, and some minor recreating. As far as restoration goes, I have a restoration plan if you're interested in seeing it. I have a couple copies I can hand out. But we just propose to do to seed in this area, in this area. And we don't propose any woody plantings, as the Office of Dam Safety requires that trees are not planted within 20 feet of the dam. So actually we'll have to go and remove a few that have grown in. But it's just a few, as we saw last week. Are there any questions about the resource areas?
Just how are you planning on getting access down there? It's quite a long ways through the woods, the drive.
So access is going to be through this, the access road. There's an existing access road on the West Newbury side.
Right, but to get to the Newburyport side.
So to the Newburyport side, it's possible that they're going to possibly use barges?
Well, what we're going to have to do, since we can't expose the whole, the plan was originally that we could hopefully put a coffee dam all the way across and then you'd just be able to, transport across. But since we have to keep half the spillway open, we will either have to use a barge to get the materials, to get the demolition materials out of there, or we'll use some sort of large crane. They'll just have the contractor will have to figure that out. But they won't be able to go in from the side because you have to hike in through the woods to get there. And that's another, that'll be a challenge for them, but I think that they can either use like a large pen digger to get across, or they can use a barge.
I mean, the building is pretty small. The building is probably like 12 by 12. Wouldn't surprise me if they did it by wheelbarrow.
I just want to cross.
It's pretty small.
By wheelbarrow across the dam.
Across the top of the dam, yeah. Exactly.
If you want to use a barge, how would you get it in there?
From the street, they'd have to get in from Middle Road up here. So, I mean, I think that that's kind of a more expensive option. I'm not sure that they would go with that unless maybe they had deals with barge person. I can't imagine they would go with that. Yeah.
But there'll be no road going over the Newburyport side. It will all be taking place from the West Newbury side, accessing across one way or the other.
I'll vote for the wheelbarrow option.
Yeah. I think they will too. We just keep this. It's a pretty small building, and in a few days somebody could do that. That's what I would do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's probably how they'll get the materials over there for their work that's going to be on the face of the dam too. And then any of the pavers that they need to replace, they could bring them over that way too.
Would that be one of the first things you do, is get rid of that building?
No, yeah. Well, it would actually, the first thing they would do would be to construct a new inlet structure so that we can use the existing one during construction. So it would really be one of the last.
Now, when you're dewatering though on the Newburyport side, you're going to put the cofferdams over there, this sort of second phase.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're dewatering over there, how do you get that equipment over there? Because the West Newbury side will be flowing at that point.
It flows under the dam, not over the
dam. Okay.
We're going to try to keep the reservoir down for that.
Okay.
So unless there's a real heavy rain event where water crosses over the top of the dam, almost every summer that dam is bare.
Oh.
And that's the reason for the building, so we cannot water from one side to the other through the piping.
Okay.
Yeah, so a lot of the time if you go out there, you can walk right across. Not recommended. I've never done it.
Okay.
All
right.
My dogs have done it many times.
All right. Gotcha.
I'll tell you how I did that.
And that's a reason for doing a summertime project.
Yeah. And it's also a reason to move the gate, to remove the gatehouse structure and construct the inlet structure on the other side. It's just for better access
for
Paul's guys and for people in the future to access that site. They can just drive right up to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be a little bit of a challenge, when they're dewatering this side. I mean, the cofferdam can be installed in the wet, but even them getting the material across to construct their improvements for the dam base upstream and downstream is going to be a bit of a challenge for them to get it over the way over there. But there are construction companies that do that, and they've figured out a way. So but hopefully nobody will be. Nobody will be hiking through the woods trying to get materials in there.
So when you put this out to bid and select a contractor, will they then provide you with their construction sequencing and their methods and all that?
Yes, so what we've done is we've come up with a series of constraints. You know, certainly they have to work within the limit of work that we've assigned, and they have to keep half the spillway open, and they've been told about, you know, what level Paul can lower the reservoir to, and there'll be a lot of constraints that they'll have, and then with that, they'll have to come up with a plan to take that information and come up with a plan and give it to us so that we can get their construction sequence. Because we try not to tell them how to do things, just mm-hmm. to, because they seem to always be able to come up with a cheaper way to mm-hmm. do it, mm-hmm. or a more efficient way to do it. So once we get that plan from them, we can review it and then just make sure it meets all of our requirements.
But in your requirements, you're constraining them by saying they cannot access the Newburyport side by land.
Yes. Yeah, the only access is from this road. Yeah, and then even that, we've only, you know, I think it's about 11 and a half to 12 foot wide road, and we've only told them we can widen it to 12 feet. So, I mean, that's all they have mm-hmm. to get in there.
And you've provided them the sort of maximum possible staging area on the Newburyport side. And so that would be the maximum impact that we could possibly
yes.
have.
Yes, the limit of work is
yeah.
All the other staging will have to be done on the West Newbury side.
Yeah, so we have a staging area here, and then here's the dewatering area.
So if they were to use a crane from the West Newbury side to access the Newburyport side, it would have to be capable of, it's 130 foot dam.
Yeah.
The boom would have to be long enough and
200 feet
to not fall over.
they'll figure
well,
it out.
130 feet.
I mean, I guess the idea would be that they would do it while this was in the dry, and they would have to bring it in.
So it's only 62 feet at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it still would be pretty big, but they would have to probably put in some like swamp mats or some sort of stabilizer so that they could bring the crane right into the reservoir.
Oh, okay. I was thinking they would have to stay on the land.
No, I think they'd have to come into the reservoir and be stabilized there, then lift the material and then bring it over to here. So it would still have to have quite a reach, but it could be done. But the wheelbarrow method is probably the best.
Well, still, they'd have to have some way of pounding in the cofferdam. Right.
Yeah, they can actually do that in the wet. They put the cofferdam in the wet.
But some sort of something overhead to be pounding it in.
Not necessarily. No, I don't think that would be
like a sheeting type of, you know, it'll really just be plastic that's held down by weights. And
So what kind of a cofferdam?
It's more of a, instead, it's not like sheeting that's dug in. It's more of a plastic cofferdam that's held down by weights.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why we have to draw down the reservoir, because it has a maximum depth that we have to comply with. And it'll be at an angle. It'll be at a pretty, like a 45-degree angle almost.
So you're not driving steel sheeting.
Okay.
Into
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying.
Oh, no.
In 2005, we did the Bartlett Spring Pond project. New intake there that came before you, and that's the exact type of cofferdam they put in. You know, it's a metal frame and they lay it with plastic
mm-hmm.
and they weight the bottom and then they pump out the inside.
Okay.
And water pressure from the outside just keeps pushing it down as you get more water to get out. And that's what we put in, so there's no pounding anything into the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So they not to say they will use it, but that's what they can use.
How deep
but
will
I don't foresee anybody bringing in and driving any sort of
right, right.
How
bad.
Deep will the water be on the other side?
Well, the deepest part is like 10 feet, and the very deepest, most of it's 5 to 6 feet.
Yeah, most of it. The deepest portion of the reservoir is right down the middle, because they had, you know, it's an old riverbed that they had blocked off. So we actually will have to keep the, because this can be as deep as 12 feet, we'll actually have to keep the cofferdam to the size of this, because it can never be any deeper than 10 feet.
Okay.
So, and we want to make sure that there's adequate protection during a storm.
So I was going to keep water at some.
Yeah, he'll have
through to. Through the lower level of the reservoir so they can do some of the work.
Mm-hmm.
To a level. So in August and September, we usually keep that reservoir down about 16 inches anyway.
Yeah.
So we'll probably start out the summer at that level.
Yeah, and then if there's an incoming storm or something that we can predict, we could lower it a little bit more if we could. Or the contractor will just have to prepare and make sure that they're ready to handle that storm. But we have looked at the calculations just to see how high the water level would get over that dam, you know, and that it could pass a 10-year storm with just half of the spillway available. So we've done those, and we've made sure that the cofferdam could be high enough. That's another reason. If we had the cofferdam right down the middle, and then a larger storm came, it wouldn't be able to get any depth over that spillway. So we need to make sure that we, mm-hmm. you know, allowed for some flow mm-hmm. over the spillway, but still that cofferdam would keep the construction site safe.
Is there any erosion control or debris control needed on this?
Yes, we'll have erosion control all along the road here that goes, you know, into the reservoir. We don't necessarily need it as much on the upstream side just because of the way that the grade is. And then there'll be all, you know, certainly the straw bales all along the,
it's actually shown on one of the figures.
This is probably the best one. So this is actually the access, well, this is almost a middle road in West Newbury. So the hay bales are all along, you know, on the reservoir side. And then over here, it actually gets a little bit low on both sides. And so we have it on both sides. And then it comes out and around and protects the reservoir. And then we have on this side, we obviously have it all around. So that's all the straw bales.
And when you're demolishing the gatehouse, from my reading, the pit where you would access the pipes in there, you're not filling that in?
We're just going to actually plug the pipes and then cover the, we're going to take the steel grating out and then we'll bolt down the steel plate over that. A diamond steel plate.
So all you're really taking down is the brick structure.
Yeah, right. The brick structure. And then we are installing a railing system. It should look nice when it's done. Less graffiti, hopefully.
No? Do we have anything else? Mm-hmm. What do you want to do?
Seems like West Newbury has more to worry about than we
have. Well, yeah, I see a bit.
Is there a corporate project between City of Newbury Port and West Newbury? Or
no.
It's an entirely City of Newbury Port project.
Yeah, the whole parcel is owned by the City of Newburyport.
So are they providing like an easement to allow the new
city? No, actually, we own all of the land that we're going over to do this work on the road, we own, except for one little tiny portion, which we just discovered doing the surveying for this that goes onto private property. So to begin the project, we're going to straighten the road so it's all on city property, and then so it's all of ours.
Yeah, the property line. There's one marker here, and it goes straight up like that. So the City of Newburyport owns all of this, but there was a portion of the, or there is a portion of the access road that goes onto this private property that we didn't discover until we did the detailed survey. And so now that we've discovered that, there is space for him to straighten it out and get it off the property.
That would be the first path to do. So half of the reservoir, I'm just curious, half of the reservoir is owned by West Newbury, but then there's this little peninsula of land that's...
Right, and almost all the reservoirs in West Newbury, you know, as you go upstream, Newburyport in 1908 got the right to all the surface waters that falls in West Newbury, so we were like, what's that reservoir? So we own the property to that elevation.
Do we pay taxes to West Newbury on that?
Yeah.
Do we own another reservoir in West Newbury too?
We do, the Indian Hill Reservoir.
Okay, that's what I thought. And Newbury has all their town wells right near this on the side or something? Or some of them?
Some of the people near this get town water, get water from us. Everybody's water from us.
Okay.
But at the Indian Hill Reservoir, there's no public water up there, so anybody around there is a private well.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that when you guys get the contractor on board and they provide you their construction details, mm-hmm. that you could forward all that to us so that we would have a better idea of what's really going to be, how it's really going to be taking place out there.
Yes.
Okay. So, and then if anything were to change, you know, given what the contractor would like to use for methods and materials and all that, then we would get any changes that would be necessary to...
Yes, we could do that. I know, because this is kind of a, you know, they will have a little bit of,
Yeah.
Interpret it differently, or
right.
But we will certainly, you know, we will write the tight constraints. And yeah. You know, and certainly we can share that with you as soon as we get that. We can submit.
Because we'll be putting in an order of conditions, we'll be putting in a permitted amount of wetland alteration. Mm-hmm. You may not be altering any wetland, but we're going to be putting in a permitted amount.
Yeah.
So then, and it's also, you know, adjacent to that is the mitigation amount that's required.
Mm-hmm.
So we're assuming, we're acting like we know for sure in our permit, we're pretending that we know for sure exactly how it's going to go because it's based on this. But that may not happen, which is fine if it's less. Mm-hmm. But if somehow it's more, then it needs to be forwarded to us, you know, right away so we can amend the permit.
Yeah, and we certainly won't allow them to go outside the limit of work or...
Right, okay.
Doing a little bit of recontouring on the bottom of the reservoir.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't, it just barely gets into Newburyport. But we wanted to make sure that we did the NOI just in case, you know, we get in there and there's something that we need to take care of. And that way you guys will already be on board with the project and then we'll have to let you know about. But it just barely gets in.
Yeah, right, exactly. You've been conservative in all of the estimations. Yeah, so that's great.
And you're planning to do this summer?
Yes. Yes, that's the plan, to start bidding in April. Yeah, hopefully we'll start in June. And we'll be able to get out there right away and be pretty aggressive with getting it done. You know, we would hate to have them out there in November when the heavy rains start.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Spring will be here by June.
I'm hoping.
I was out there last night, and they could drive equipment right across the reservoir and do it easy right now. Drive it across it. Still have a chase.
You all set? Well, there is no public, so I won't ask them. He's the applicant.
He's a resident.
Motion to close the public hearing. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. What do we want to do with order conditions?
So I was looking at the draft set of special conditions today, and all of our standard ones apply to this, including there's some dewatering provisions in there. But the thing about the dewatering is really not even taking place on the Newburyport side. So much of this application wasn't really impacts to Newburyport. So I was just, as a special condition, I would suggest that we request that the contractors construction sequencing plan and impacts to the Newburyport side, projected impacts to the Newburyport side of the dam be provided to the commission before any work takes place on the site, and that any changes to the approved plans and specs be provided to the commission for review and approval.
Okay.
You're dewatering on the Newburyport side, right? Not at all?
They will have to take the water out, but for the most part it'll just go through the inlet structure. So hopefully they'll put the cofferdam in, and then most of it will just be able to flow as it normally does.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, because the cofferdam won't block the inlet or the outlet, so hopefully it will just flow out kind of normally.
And I think the bottom portion they're gonna still use the existing dewatering.
It's being placed in West Newbury. It's all going over there for its filtering and everything.
Yeah.
I don't see anything other than needing the...
One more maybe special condition would be to leave the erosion controls in place until after the site has been final stabilization and all the plantings are in place and established. But that's, pretty standard too.
Do we need anything that says that all of the debris from the gatehouse would be removed?
I believe that's in their application, but we can put that, to cover it. Yep.
If you left it there,
nothing shall be left on.
From other sides. Should
we include them giving us the plans from the, or the procedures from the construction company?
Yeah.
And
give you the authority to approve them.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Anything else?
Do we want an as-built?
Yeah, that's in there as a special or as a condition post-construction, that in order to receive it, or that in order of conditions must be applied for at the completion of construction and prior to the expiration of the order of conditions, and that we need a statement from a registered professional engineer stating that the project was completed in substantial, not in substantial compliance, but in compliance, and if not, what are the deviations, and then in addition, an as-built plan. So that will be in there.
Motion to issue order conditions as discussed.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Aye, thank you.
Thank you.
So I guess we can, are we done discussing the computer stuff, or?
In terms of the printer, we also had talked about a color printer. And so I asked Lisa Reed, who's the new parks coordinator, what she, you know, might be interested in, and maybe we could sort of combine resources to get one for us to share or for the office. And then we started talking with Diane, and she said, why don't we maybe just upgrade the planning office's existing printer, copier, fax?
Excuse me. I just wanted to give you this.
Oh, okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, which is probably a really good idea.
Yeah.
Just
I mean, because everyone needs it. It's not just me. It's not just Lisa. It's the rest of the planning office, too. So it would be useful for everyone. We might as well just all. So that's what we're going to talk about. That we have a staff meeting tomorrow morning.
We would contribute something to that.
We would maybe contribute, depending on how much we're going to look in to see what the increase in cost would be to upgrade our existing machine, and if it's not something that we can add in entirely to the planning office budget, then maybe the ConCom and Parks can come a little bit out of each also. But I think that might be just.
It would be
make
really
the
good.
Most sense. We don't need to wait. We don't ever need everyone to have their own printer.
Right.
So we'll talk about that tomorrow morning. And that was it for that. But I did want to mention, you want to mention the master plan meeting? Were you at that last one?
I was at the master plan meeting. It wasn't all that informative, really. We threw a bunch of dots on some things and it got read back. I think it's going to be more interesting. Is it next week we have our first subcommittee? The open space recreation and whatever the other.
Resources.
Resources subcommittee will be meeting. Where are we meeting?
On Thursday night at 7, I think.
Any idea
six
where?
Or 7? I'll have to ask Kate. I'm sorry. This isn't Kate's thing. This is, Lisa and I should put together a meeting location.
It would be a good idea.
Yeah. There's only a small group of us, but still, I'll let you know.
Okay.
Hopefully, we can go upstairs.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. I have no idea what'll go on with that. Being an open space one, who knows who will show up?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll get a visit from Cal.
All right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But that's just getting started. That's our first meeting, so we'll see what comes from that. Also, there was Lauren Healy, who did the green roof experiment, which is on the compost shed at the compost facility, and she is requested to have a sit down with the folks in the industrial park to basically try and sell them on green roofs, which
good luck.
But the one plus is that Lauren is basically Lauren and another guy who won the whatever the science challenge was,
They were both supported by the Business Coalition, I think it was. And Art Currier had asked me if I'd mentor Lauren a little bit, and I sent something to Art along with Julie and the mayor and Steve today asking for a meeting like that, and apparently Art has already coordinated it, and she will have, I guess the Business Coalition is going to have a meeting in either April or May, and Lauren's got a spot to sell her green roofs.
That's great, and she has one. There's one now for people to look at, and she's such an expert on it, so hopefully that will help.
Yeah, I think the people out there just need some education, because you know, one of those projects that didn't go anywhere, they thought they had to have 4 feet of dirt on the roof.
Right.
They hadn't done any research at all.
Mm-hmm. Nor are they interested in doing the research.
I think that was on the advice of their engineer or architect or someone that they had hired who wanted nothing to do with getting involved in that kind of thing.
Now, I might have said this before, but when I talked with Jared Eigerman, he was discussing an overlay district for the industrial park or the business park, and which is going to include, you know, multiple story buildings and such, so they could put office space or whatever out there. And he said, we can just make it as a requirement. If you want to go up 3 stories, you put a green roof on there, or something else.
Why not? That's excellent. That's,
so
it's not like it's new technology. Anywhere in Europe, and it's everywhere.
Right, and there's all sorts of, you can have green walls, you can have green roofs, you can do all sorts of things. So it's a matter of making it a requirement. And it's for their own good too, so.
And we have every reason to try and require it out there. It makes, you know, it's not like it's unjustified to ask for that in that location.
Every little bit of water you give a chance to get out of there, makes flooding a lot less.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of roof space, and there'll be, they're going to have to build a new roof anyway, so.
I like it.
So,
do we have something to sign?
Yes. We do. Thanks for remembering. Next meeting, just so you all know, we might not have it because there's no agenda items. So unless you all really desperately want to meet, I don't think we have to. Although, wait, do we have 3 weeks until then or 2 weeks? No, it's only 2 weeks away.
Is it only 2 weeks? Let's see.
It might be 3 weeks away, which would mean their deadline is next week.
This
really?
This is the first.
It is the first.
The 31st is Monday.
Really? Yeah, you're right. It's 1st and the 15th. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So we won't have that meeting unless someone really wants to.
I won't be here, so.
Okay.
Sophia.
I won't be here for the one on the 15th, so we'll have to just coordinate a little bit about that. Where are you going, and when, or it doesn't matter, but when will you be back?
I'll be back at the end of that week.
Okay.
I'll be back.
Okay.
I won't be here for the month of August.
Oh, where are you going? Switzerland?
Month of August.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And at some point we need to have another night out too, so.
Yeah.
So think of that.
Especially since I'm not sure what's going on with Mary, but she may not be able to stay on the commission forever. She was indicating that she's super busy at work, and it's just a bit harder and harder for her to get here. So we should do something like this.
Yeah. Yeah, I basically talked her into staying on for a while longer.
Yeah.
So. Or a while back I did that.
I hope she continues to stay on for a while longer, but she may not. Who knows? Mm-hmm. So if anyone, you know, keep your ears open for good quality candidates.
Okay.
Do you want to bring up my suggestion for the harbor masters at your meeting tomorrow?
I will. Absolutely. And it's, I mean, it's or good.
Wherever is the appropriate place.
It's on our agenda. Well, actually, we have tech review. I'll bring it up tomorrow in our staff meeting. And then we also have a tech review meeting tomorrow later in the morning, which is with DPS, and Harbor Master will be there too. And it's just good to know that this is where the commission is, what the commission's thinking about, and we'll be asking these questions.
What am I thinking about?
You missed this, Steve's brilliant questions tonight about the Harbor Master facility.
Well, I was just thinking that given what's going on the waterfront, it might be worthwhile combining the Harbor Master building with a visitor center of some sort. And did they need to be directly on the water?
You mean like it can get damaged like it did 2 years ago?
Well, yeah, it also would get them away from the water where there is potential damage from wind and water and so on. So I don't know.
So I was, you know, noting that as part of riverfront area, they do have to do an alternatives analysis.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, it's a redevelopment and it doesn't exempt them from the alternatives analysis. So that's a legitimate question.
Did you mention
they need to be prepared to explain
that they? Did you mention they should consider a roof?
Didn't, but certainly we could.
No, I mean, it'd be cool if they did something like a grass roof up there, you know, something really low,
mm-hmm.
you know, but like just kind of, and it would have like a visual connection with what you see beyond in the salt marshes. If you could do like a grass roof,
it could be like it's, it could be like its own sort of public art thing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Make it a
oh, I gotta. Yeah. I'm writing all this down.
So they're gonna love you.
Good stuff.
They're gonna hate us.
They already roll their eyes when I bring things
I mean,
up.
You know, you've got all the benefits. Insulation is much, much better
mm-hmm.
than just a regular
mm-hmm.
roof.
You're trying to sell it to us? They should all have green roofs up there.
My roof's too steep. I'd have to have a wall.
Yeah, mine. Yeah, I'd have to have a green wall too. I think.
I got up there once and said, "I'm never coming up here again."
Mm-hmm. But the view is so good. Do we have anything else?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okie dokie. So think about a night out.
I wonder what the first meeting in May is. Maybe we could do it in May.